Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, we got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. Our good friend Jesse Ortiz is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse's a member of our Brain Trust. He's the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Designer at Bobby Jones Golf Company. And his name is on the clubs that he makes and clubs that I own. I'm a very happy owner and user of Jesse's golf clubs, the Bobby Jones series of golf clubs, and he's here to talk to us about the business and the politics of golf. Jesse Ortiz, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on again.
It's good to have you back, and of course, I'll remind you, the family that your family is a golf family. I mean, your father was a golf designer in the golf business before you.
Yeah, that's right. My dad started Orlemar in 1960, and it was a family business, so I've just kept it on.
Right, and a good one too, Jesse. I want to talk about the business and the politics of golf. But before we get into that, let's talk about what happened over the weekend. We had the Open, as they call it in England, in Britain they call it the Open because it is the original. Over here in America, we call it the British Open.
That's right.
Even though many of them are played in Scotland, as the one this week was played in at Turnberry.
Right.
What about Tom Watson?
Well, I think it was wonderful. I think after his first round, I remember seeing the guys on the Golf Channel, and there was a panel there, and they said, "Well, can he win?" Every one of them emphatically said no.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember sitting on the couch watching that on. That first day, and I said, the son of a gun is swinging really well, and no one knows that course and those conditions
right.
better. And I just love watching, the British Open because mm-hmm. it's just so different than the
links
tournament
golf,
that we
typically.
Have here.
Especially the links courses.
Look at the bunkers. I mean, the
yeah.
bunkers in America, it makes it a little tough to get out, but they're full-on one-stroke penalty,
mm-hmm.
if not two.
Right,
and they're game changers psychologically. They're game changers over there, and I just love the fact that you got to land the ball, 20 yards in front of the green, and there's so much imagination in the shots and the conditions. I just love to watch, and I think Tom was just it was just wonderful.
If you watch him strike the ball, and I follow the senior tour as well, and have played with some of the guys in some pro-ams. If you watch Tom Watson strike the ball, he still strikes the ball as good as he ever did.
Oh yeah,
and that's pretty unusual for the senior players who are still pretty good, but I don't know anybody who strikes the ball as closely as to where he did in 30 years ago as Tom Watson does. But his putter's been letting him down, and the last thing in the world he wanted or anybody wanted was for him to come to the last stroke on the 72nd hole and need to make a 6-foot putt to win.
Yeah, I mean that second shot he hit was absolutely pure. But under those conditions, with the wind and he was a little pumped up, excited. He probably hit that 8-iron just a little too good, and you can
mm-hmm.
see it just trickled off the back. That ball stays anywhere on the green.
Yeah,
he 2-putts, he's the champion.
And folks, if you didn't follow this, forgive us. Because the reason we're making such a big deal out of Tom Watson is Tom Watson will be 60 years old in 2 months. He's by 10 years the oldest, would have been the oldest champion, major champion by 10 years if he had won, more than 10 years probably. His playing partner the first 2 days was a 16-year-old Italian, could have been his grandson, and yet he's out there beating these kids at their game. And that was the big news this week, not just the tournament, the big news. And, of course, I was torn at the very end, Jesse, because Stuart Sink, ladies and gentlemen, who, if you don't know, wound up winning in a playoff with Watson. I've known Stuart since he was a teenager. So Stewart, I was obviously once Tom missed the and allowed the tie with Stewart, I had to switch over and be for Stewart after that, because I like what Paul Azinger said. He said, winning this tournament won't change Tom Watson's life, but winning it will change Stuart Sink's life. Because Tom already had five of these. So that was a good statement to make. But anyway, that's what happened this week in golf, folks. But there's a politics to golf, isn't there, Jesse?
Well, there's always politics.
And the politics also influences the business of golf.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about when we come back after this next break. But the politics of golf, folks, if you want to see what politics of golf looks like, whenever someone of note comes up on the leaderboard, they get put up higher sometimes than they should on the leaderboard, because the networks want their name up there. And that's all part of the politics, just part of the politics, though. And as I say, it influences the business, which is what Jesse is involved in. And we're going to talk about all of that after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. And I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, I belong. Little Steely Dan bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and for reading and listening and subscribing and spending time there. We appreciate that very much. As you know, everything we have is free. Just go there and use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. We got things you can read or listen to. You can ask a question. Please subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to check out my blog while you're there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jesse Ortiz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's become a friend of mine and a guy who makes clubs that I like a lot. I'm happy to say that I have four wedges. Jesse, I have your pitching wedge, which is brand new through your 60 degree. I know you make a 64. I don't have that one.
Yeah.
And then I have all of your rescue clubs, the 3-wood, the 5-wood, and I've got 3 drivers.
And as 3 good, drivers, dude. As one good, of them's got to work.
I got the last one. I love it, but I love my clubs, Jesse. I don't love my swing all the time, but I love my clubs. And folks, I recommend them to you. And Jesse doesn't pay anybody to play his clubs, so I'm one of those people who don't get paid to play or talk about his clubs, but. I love all of your clubs. Your rescue clubs literally don't know the rough. They don't know there is rough. They go through the rough like it's not even there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're designed to really help you out of a lot of tough lies, where most of the hybrids on the market really are set up to, you know, replace one of your long irons.
In the fairway.
They have, fairway, that's right. And I just felt that the clubs, golfers needed help from a lot of a variety of lies, and you know, if a club, if you can't use it out of tough lies, I don't think it's worth.
And the wedges though, and the driver, I love the driver. It's a great driver, but the wedges are incredible. This is in association with Dave Pels,
right?
Designed the wedges, but they're the best clubs I've ever owned, and so folks, I highly recommend it to you. Give us the website, Jesse.
Well, it's easy. It's BobbyJonesGolf.com.
Yeah, so check it out there. Jesse, we're talking about the business and the politics of golf, the politics and the business, I should say, because it's hard to say which comes first. You know, the thing about the politics, Jesse, is golf on television is pretty much all Tiger all the time. And Tiger, there's no question, Tiger is an incredible golfer, probably will become the greatest golfer of all time. No, more talent, more... I think Phil Mickelson may be more talented physically than Tiger, but I think Tiger's got that that kind of talent and more between his ears than Phil. Tiger is a much better thinker around the golf course than Phil is, I think. And so Tiger, there's no question he's justified in the fame and the success he's had. He's an incredible golfer. But I do believe that he's taken the politics of golf and put it on steroids. What do you think, Jesse?
Well, you know, there's no question that Tiger's presence at a tournament turns it into an event rather than just another tournament. It's all about the TV ratings. You know, you just know when you know, we do a lot of advertising on the Golf Channel, and there's no question that, that viewership spikes the week that he's in a tournament.
People who don't even know golf or like golf watch it because of Tiger. And that's where the politics gets into the business. But I mean, he'll be 10 strokes back, about to make the cut, and he'll make a great shot, and some announcer will say game on.
Well, yeah.
And it's so annoying.
again, it's about the politics, and you know, there is a bias for Tiger among the television, particularly television media, because you know, if he's in contention, that means that there's more interest, and you know, there's more advertising dollars and all that.
But so, the problem, though, know, Jesse, is when you know, you don't pay anybody to play your clubs. But if you did, you have it in times past. If you did, and your guy was in contention, and Tiger wasn't, and your guy has your stuff on his sleeve and on his cap, and he's and his in your clubs or whatever your business is that you're whose brand this guy's wearing. If your guy's in contention and Tiger's not, and they're following Tiger all the time, your brand is not getting very much play, and that's where the politics gets into the business, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, but again, you know, Jim, it's the sort of two edges. You know, if Tiger's even in the tournament, there's more eyeballs watching. So,
right.
You know, if you have a player there, you know, he may not get his fair shake, you know, literally, but you know that there's eyeballs, there's interest, and you know, nowadays when Tiger doesn't make a cut, it's news. And
right.
You know, I think it's you saw it this weekend.
Yep.
You know, he struggled over there, and you know, his temper was shown, and
he didn't acquit himself very well in some of his behavior. But you know, the good news is Tiger was replaced by Watson. Watson made it a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there was just like last year, there was a great story with Norman. Got through, you know, to...
Three rounds
before, you know, he struggled and the pressure got to him. But, you know, Tiger overall has been good for the game. I mean, take a look at tennis. You know, you've got someone who, you know, dominates. You got Federer. But, you know, the real excitement now is that there's someone that's as tough as Federer in Nadal. You know,
right.
I think any time there is someone emerges that can go, as they say, mano a mano with Tiger, it's good for the game. When Tiger dominates, there may be people who believe, oh, hey, this is great. I
personally glad Tiger didn't make the cut this weekend because we'll come back after these messages. I'm going to say why. When we get back, I'm going to ask Jesse, how is the business of golf these days? Tintel, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jesse Ortiz, the founder of Bobby Jones Golf, and his name is right there on the clubs that he sells and that he makes, the irons, the wedges, I should say, and the fairway woods, the rescue clubs, the drivers. Jesse, I keep asking you this. When are you going to make a set of irons?
Everybody asks me.
Because I want some. I'll be your first customer.
Everyone asks me that. You know, I just like I say often, Jim. You know, if I can't really make a big difference in an equipment category, I don't get in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that you know.
This is an important point for small business owners. Jesse, tell the audience why you're saying this.
Well, you know, I just believe that if I can't make a difference or make something that is markedly better, superior, in a specific category, equipment category, then I just become a me-too product. And I can't, you know, there's inventory issues, you know, you get me-too product. And you know, to keep your name out there, you've got to be cutting edge in my industry.
In the monsters of the golf industry, you're a small business.
Oh, yeah.
And you found your niche. And you're sticking to your knitting. Now, that's
right.
In my opinion, that is a success story. That's a success plan. That's a business model that more small business owners should pay attention to, Jesse. Congratulations.
Oh, well, you know, it's out of necessity, Jim. You know,
but you learned the hard way, didn't you?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you've had successes, you've had failures, and you've learned from your failures.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we did irons at Olimar, but they weren't as successful, and it cost us in inventory and dollars. You know, right now I just concentrate on, you know, woods because I've that's my forte, you know, drivers, fairway woods, hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually the hybrids, too, that was kind of interesting because I was criticized at first, Jim, for my hybrid designs because they were the first ones that really looked like mini fairway woods.
Right,
and everyone
right.
else's hybrids 5-6 years ago, they
right.
were more like irons.
Right.
And, you know, I was criticized, and now everyone's hybrids look like mine.
Right,
so
exactly.
I was ahead.
Well, they're
of
beautiful
curve.
Clubs. That's the other thing. You know, golfers like to look down at their club, and they like to look like what they see, don't they?
Well, appearance is very important.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the confidence game.
Exactly. And they're beautiful clubs. There's nothing. They really are. Not just. They don't just work. They're beautiful clubs. Jesse, the business of golf. I was talking to a guy with I won't say which company. One of the giants. He was at a demo day the other day. And I asked him how business was this year. He said horrible.
Yeah, it's been very tough. Our business is off from last year, but it's, you know, we're hanging in there, and we're about about break even, which is a lot more.
Oh yeah.
Than can be said for all the rest of the guys in the industry.
You mean after all the clubs I bought, you're still only break even?
Yeah, it's just tough out there. I mean, I've said to Jim, that, you know, when the channels of distribution are sick, then the industry's sick, and
right.
you know that a lot of people are seeing that. There's
a lot of small,
like,
lot of small golf businesses are out of business now.
Yeah, over 300-400. I think it's 350 storefronts
wow.
have closed since September of
mm.
last year,
mm.
and you know that's from the economy, but it's also from an overproduction of
mm-hmm.
of equipment from manufacturers, and a lot of the big guys come out with models every 3 months, so there's
right.
no integrity in
Quick,
the design.
Quickly, I want to one thing before we go. We got to talk about the grooves.
Oh yeah,
the V
yeah.
grooves. This is another politics of golf. We got to talk about this. After this year, you're going to be playing. You can't play with the square grooves anymore, right? You can play with them, but you can't make them.
Well, yes. Actually, the USGA has moved it back to December 31st of 2010.
Oh, you can make square grooves through 2010.
We can make them through 2010.
Okay,
but
good.
The tour will not be able to use them after this year.
Okay,
so everyone's.
So
go
I don't
to
have to buy. Them, I don't have to buy my square grooves this year.
No, you'll have time next year.
Okay, that's good news.
That's good news, and it'll make a difference for a lot of golfers. I mean, if anyone who saw the British Open could see, you know, how the ball when it comes out, because the greens were so hard,
right.
It was very tough to make the ball stick. Well, that's going to happen to average golfers in a year from now. Is when you
which
start
I think is a mistake, Jess, Jesse. I think imposing V grooves on amateurs is because pros are too good with the square grooves. I think that's a mistake for the game of golf.
Well, it is. I think there's ways that you can toughen up the courses for the pros, make
exactly.
the greens harder, increase the rough that would cure that.
Absolutely. Jesse Ortiz, BobbyJonesGolf.com, right, Jesse?
That's it.
Thanks for being here. Good job today. Thanks for your clubs.
Thank you, Jim.
Jesse Ortiz, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.